Hey, greetings, everybody. It is Sister Amen and me. I mixed it up
hey.
That time. Brother Tupos, hope you're all doing well today.
Hi, everyone.
Sister Amen, are we here once again?
We are.
Where are
Praise
we?
God.
Where are we?
We're in our van.
But where's our van?
In the parking lot.
We are in a parking lot. And I'll just say, okay. We're in a parking lot that looks like an RV park.
Yeah.
There's truckers. There's car campers. There looks like there's some traveling hobos. And there's a whole bunch of RVs, and we got something funny to talk about.
Right.
A little bit later about that parking lot. But today, did we have a good long journey, Sister Amen?
We did. It was a super beautiful day. The clouds in the sky.
Yeah.
Oh, it was awesome.
Big fluffy clouds.
Yeah, I made a little travel video to put up at the top.
And for August, it's not very hot. It's very pleasant. Uh-huh.
It's been incredible.
Great weather, great traveling, and guess what I'm excited about? We didn't even talk about this, Sister Amen. It's just a little, tiny, small thing in van life, but I'm really excited about it that we don't have it anymore. Something you don't want in van life. Let's see how good you are at this. I'm springing this on Sister Amen.
Well, we just talked about the weather.
Yeah, but it's something in van life that you don't want, and I'm rejoicing that it's gone. And I worked on it today.
Something is gone. Okay. You put me on the spot. Let's see. So as we were driving and hitting some bumps on some of these roads, we would have a big squeak.
Oh, not a big squeak. A huge squeak. We had a squeak that sounded like a mouse caught in a bear trap.
Like a mouse the size of an elephant.
And we couldn't figure out where this squeak was coming from. And it was driving me insane more than Sister Amen because I have bad hearing, so does she. But it was hitting a pitch that I could hear. And we figured out it was our wooden countertop. And I kept narrowing it down. And today when she was in a store getting some groceries for us, some discount stuff, I got a rubber piece that I save everything in van life or save a lot. And I was able to put it back there. And I got rid of our squeak, so I'm rejoicing.
Yeah, and you know, it makes the travel less stressful on your body. I mean, because this thing doesn't ride like a nice little car.
It gives you peace. It gives you peace.
Yeah, and that eliminates that part of it. So that was like,
and it wasn't always like that. Nice. It just happened. It started getting worse. I think the cabinet loosened up. Now I tightened the cabinet, and then that pulled it tight against a piece of the window. But I fixed it, so
good
I'm rejoicing.
Job.
I just kind of flung
that
on us.
Yeah,
nice and quiet peace. There's something about peace and quiet when you're driving.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now, before we left today to go on our long journey, what happened, Sister Amen? We're getting our, you know, every time you park, you got to either set up, or when you're leaving, you got to take down.
Yep.
Screens, make sure everything's fastened. I got to check our air shocks. We got a whole system we do.
Shut the windows.
Spin our chairs around, shut the windows, all this stuff. Someday maybe we'll do a video. That'd be kind of fun.
Oh, that'd be funny.
We'll do a video and show you on our setup and our breakdown. But anyway, as we're doing it, what happened today? Who walked up?
A man walked up and he was interested in van life, but he got way more than that. And he was like really receptive to
it. Oh, yeah.
So he got the gospel and everything.
We talked like 45 minutes. He said, can I see your van? And then I took him to the gospel and he started talking about how he came out of drugs and he realized that the church system isn't right. And he was just soaking it up and he kind of said his wife's not where he is, but he still wants to strive on. And so I encouraged him, told him to email me. We could Bible study, we'd help him. He was like greatly encouraged. He works at Walmart.
Uh-huh.
And it was awesome. Perfect timing.
Yeah.
God
yeah,
used us
really
right where we were. So
so
we're thankful for that. And that's why we're out here.
Yeah.
I told him I never would meet him if I was still sitting on my homestead. And he really appreciated that.
Right.
So I like to tell people that. And then we started traveling, and about halfway we stopped, and I think Sister Amen's got, I gave her a picture to put up. We stopped at a beautiful little rest stop.
Oh, yeah, that was nice.
And what did you make me, Sister Amen?
I made some little pizzas in my little, what do we call that? A little sandwich toaster cooker thing.
Yep.
Whatever that thing is.
Oh, they were good. They were good. And she got some fresh fruit on discount, so we had a really good lunch, and we're flying our gospel signs there as always.
Uh-huh.
And as we went today, we made a travel video. So you can check out, Sister Amen said we made a travel video.
Uh-huh.
So you can check that out. And we got a couple pictures. And I'm just going to start out today. I'm going to drop something, a topic that's really weird, strange. It's kind of wicked. And then we'll get better from there. But I want to talk about this real quick. So as I do my research on different things I'm studying or doing teachings on or whatever, I came across this. Have you heard about this foolishness? It's in the news. I don't watch much news, but I saw this. Elon Musk, the richest guy in the world, and Steve Zuckerberg, the guy that owns Facebook, another super rich guy, they're going to do a cage fighting match. Somehow they don't like each other. And I thought it was a joke when I first heard about this about a month ago. And now I saw another article spring up. These two men, grown men, they're in their 30s, 40s, I don't know. They're going to train and they're supposedly planning to do an MMA type style fighting cage match where you beat each other up and somebody's either knocked out or submits by a chokehold or an arm twist or a leg twist. And this is what they said the world is craving for. Everybody's excited. And they said it's going to be the biggest sporting event in the world, make the most money, and everybody wants to watch it. And you know what it made me think about, Sister Ayman?
How the world was filled with violence?
Yeah, foolishness, and how God destroyed... I didn't look up that verse. Go look up in Genesis how God destroyed the earth over violence in Noah's day. But Psalm 11:5, the Lord tries the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Yeah, God hates those who love violence. God hates the wicked, Psalm 5:5. Now, I don't know, this one just struck me. And I always tell people, I'm a street preacher, been doing this for years, not much surprises me or makes me kind of go, what? And when I heard this, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I thought it was a stunt. And the way they're talking about it, they're really going to try and pull off this cage match between billionaires and everybody wants to watch. How, what it shows you is how wicked, debased, corrupt the world is and it has become and where it's going.
Oh, I know. I also think of what else is behind it all, but
yeah,
that's pretty wicked.
Yeah, so
that is utterly
That's wickedness.
For those people who have never seen cage fighting, it's something.
It's brutal and
in
it's
our
bloody.
Past,
it's like something the Romans like did.
The ultimate of wickedness.
It's basically a fight till you either knock somebody out. Sometimes men die. Sometimes, and then you either knock somebody out or they submit because of immense pain or injury or bleeding.
Broken
bones. All kinds of stuff. So,
it's wicked,
Anyway, I wanted to cover that, and so we'll get better from there. We'll cover some better, more edifying topics from there. But we do have to face the fact that we live in a world of violence.
I was gonna say that.
Abortion, fighting, crime, video games, Hollywood movies.
Oh, yeah.
And so this is part of the reason God is going to judge the world with fire once again and purify it. So think about that. Sister Ayman, what's on... What's on your mind for your beloved sisters today?
Well, let's switch off of that.
Yeah, let's get off that wicked topic and go to something more edifying.
Like you said, you know, we can't hide from things.
No.
We gotta know things.
We deal with all kinds. It's like when we go street preaching. We deal with all kinds of things. Seekers, police, mockers, haters, ignorers, people that thank us, children, middle age, older age, atheists, Muslims, Satanists, worldly people. It's part of the ministry.
Well, what you just said was like most of what I was just going to talk about.
Oh, okay. I didn't even know what you're going to do. What are you going to talk about?
I was going to talk about, we're kind of talking about it because of things going on. The last thing, or what did I have on here? Hold on. Yeah, the last thing I want to do. Sometimes we got to do the last thing our flesh wants to do. And when I say the last thing, it's like the ultimate thing my flesh doesn't want
to
do.
We'll talk about what that means to me recently, and that's how this kind of came up, but
Yeah. So you just listed a whole bunch of issues that happened, and we'll just use us for an example. You know, going out on the streets and stuff. The last thing my flesh wants to do is go stand there and get, and yours too, I know, get screamed at by demonic people.
Yeah.
Constantly having to listen to people defend their sin and try to fight for their souls and dealing with all the issues and standing out all day long and listening to all their lies and their accusations. My flesh doesn't want to do it. My flesh would rather be sitting in the garden, cutting wood.
Or go kayaking.
Yeah, or hanging out by the fireplace.
Or go sightseeing.
Or just... You know, maybe just sitting around having something good to eat and watching the turkeys.
Don't lose your train of thought here. Our last preach, we had a beautiful walk all the way to where we were going to preach along Lake Superior.
I put the videos up.
Beautiful water. And then we're walking on this peaceful grassy trail. And we're carrying our gospel signs and we're preparing our hearts what we got to go do. And we turn the corner and we go from a peaceful world with just me and Sister Ayman enjoying each other's company before God's creation. We turn the corner and there's 500 people in line at this carnal fest and we go.
Coming in.
They know we're coming in and we know they're there and we go, let's do this. And we put down the flesh And we say there are seekers here. We got to stand. God's glory needs to be defended. We need to contend for the faith. And so we put it down and we go do it.
Right. And after a while, you just kind of slide right into it. Yep. And it's not, there used to be a big transition for me.
Yeah.
You know, I used to really have to kill the flesh and go, let's go. Now it's like I just kind of meld right into it, because if you're always walking in the Spirit, there are times where it has to be, you know, at a higher level, but you can just slide right into it. But so we talk about like one of the last things your flesh would want to do, you know, and that's, we wouldn't want to pick all those things that we have to deal with just in that. Yeah. And so you sisters can think about all the things that the last thing your flesh would want to do, but the Spirit drives us on.
Yeah.
You know, the last thing you want to do is look like a gazing stock in front of the world, but the Spirit says, hey, we get to be a billboard for the Lord.
Yeah.
What better thing can you do than that? Or be the mouthpiece of the gospel?
And a brother once said that oftentimes the last thing your flesh wants to do is exactly what you should do.
Uh-huh.
Because your flesh hates the things of God.
Right.
And then I've learned in my life, and I've seen in other people's lives, oftentimes things of your flesh that you say, oh, I don't want to get rid of that, or I don't want to do that. And God and the Holy Spirit puts the pressure on you and says, that's the one thing I want. That thing that you love in the flesh, that's what I want the most.
Yeah. Yeah, and oftentimes the flesh can raise things up to make them way bigger than they really are.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, that was just some thoughts there. And so I wanted to share, where is my, I lost it.
You got
lost my scripture verse, but that's okay. Yeah, that's all right. Cause you got plenty of edification.
Yeah,
maybe
it'll come to you before the end. Was it on this topic?
I thought it was, but it's okay. I have something else to share later, but go ahead.
I was going to talk about what we mentioned yesterday, the word circumspect. And I said, I think I know what this means, but let's talk about it. That'll be interesting. Uh-huh. It's used a few times in Scripture. Ephesians 5, 15 through 17. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding that what the will of the Lord is. That word circumspect, it's akribos in the Greek. It means exactly, diligent, perfect. There you go. Another time we're called to be perfect, fully fully mature and complete. In the New Testament, we're called to be perfect, fully mature and complete, like 30 times. I have a teaching on that at the teaching blog. Accurately, diligently, circumspectly, and perfect is another one. So that's what that word means. And Paul is telling us there to walk with wisdom, walk in perfection, walk with accuracy, walk with diligence. I was just telling a young brother today, talking on the phone, the things that God can only do, we talked about this the other day, we have to wait on God for. But the things that he calls us to do, we don't wait on God for that. We go, we do, we seek, we pursue, we strive. And so we need to be diligent right here. Hebrews 11 says God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So think about that, being circumspect. That means be wise, be perfect, accurate, be diligent. So think about the things that you need to do and take diligence in them. Take ownership of them. Take and be assertive. I told this young brother, be assertive in the things that God's called you to do. And then God will help you. The grace will come. He'll give you this more of the Spirit and the Word and all of that, but we got to take things and be diligent and pursue them. So I thought that word circumspect, not as fools, but wise. So it's wise to take a hold of things, redeem the time, the days are evil, and be not unwise, but understanding what the Lord's will is. So being circumspect means you're in the will of God and you're striving to be perfect and you're diligent. Does that make sense, Sister Amon?
Oh, it does. I love that. And I like that word exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
It says a lot. Yeah. I like how when you look in the Greek and the Hebrew words, it gives you such a bigger and a deeper meaning.
Right.
And it usually pushes you on a lot more, too.
Yeah, it gives you more words to cover more of the roundhouse, I always say, of the full meaning, rather than one word that can only mean this. You go, oh, I see. It kind of paints a picture.
Right. I love that.
Yeah, it kind of paints a picture. And my other topic I want to talk about today is that kind of what we were talking about, the last thing you want to do. I want to talk about submitting in the body. Today, via email, because we're not face-to-face, I submitted myself to a brother that we are used to be united to, that we're not united to anymore, because we got some issues to work out. And I had to make a decision in the spirit to overcome my flesh, because in my flesh, the last thing I want to deal with in my life with everything else I got going on is all of the issues with division, separation, personality, strife, envy going on. There might be some pride. There really is no doctrinal issue here. That's good news. But there could be a lot of other things involved, just like there was in Corinth. They were all speaking the same things in one mind on doctrine, but they had strife and envy. The last thing I wanted to do was to submit myself, but I had to come to myself. I mean, my name in the Lord is Tupos, which means an example. I decided I want to be an example. So I'm submitting myself to this man to see if we can work through what the issues he has with me. But remember, submission is like Hebrews 4. It's a double-edged sword. Once I submit to him and we go over the issues, then it's his turn. He will have to submit to me, and I will tell him all the issues that I would have or the things I think that we have differences or issues on, and then it just kind of goes to where that's where you find a level ground in the Lord. You both end up submitting to each other. So I thought I would read some scripture verses about submission, because it's a big problem, isn't it, Sister Amon?
It is huge.
Any thoughts on that before I read some scriptures?
No, I'd love to hear the scriptures.
Yeah, so we submit to God in meekness, and I've got articles where I teach about what meekness is that's submitted to God. Romans 10:3. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto God, unto the righteousness of God. These would be people that are ignoring Christ, denying Christ. They think they can make all their own righteousness and make it to the kingdom of God. This would have been like the Jews that denied Christ and said, we can be righteous and make it on our own. Paul saying they're not submitting themselves to the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21, Christ who knew no sin became sin for us so we can become the righteousness of God. Yes, we have to have righteousness of our own. That's the fruit that we know him and serve him and obey him. But that Paul's talking about there. And I'll get to what the word submitting means. So we submit to God. Another verse on submitting to God. I like this one. James 4:7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. So we get behind God, submit ourselves in meekness, and it's like a buffer and a protection and a wall and a barrier between us and Satan, and he will flee. Those who submit to God, Satan will flee. Satan has a field day with those who will not submit to God, walk in their flesh, walk in false ways, pride, vanity, whatever. So those are two verses on submitting ourselves to God. How about wives submitting themselves to husbands?
I was thinking that.
Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. So that's an important one. Wives to husbands. We already talked about us, of course, submitting to God. How about submitting to the government? 1 Peter 2:13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme. So this is a big one with like street preachers. Street preachers, most all of them that I know, are rebellious, because you got to be bold to do what we do. But the problem is they become rebellious, and they will like rebel against the laws of the land. And I'll give you a good example, amplification laws.
Yep.
Like at our last preach, they came up and told me after what, 5 times preaching there, nobody told me there was a law against it. I read the law. I didn't see that it prohibited my amp. The police came up, somebody called and said, he has an amp. The police walked up and said, you can't have an amp. And they showed me the code. I think there's some ambiguity in the code. I think I'm going to challenge it by talking to their attorney and see if next time I preach here I can use it. But what did I do, Sister Amon?
You submitted to it and you turned it off.
Yeah.
And waited until you can find out for sure what the rules
are. So I shut, because what good would it do if I would have said, nope, I'm not submitting to your law about the amp. It's my right to preach. And then they would have either taken my amp, given me a big ticket, maybe arrest me. Everybody's watching. I thought this was interesting. I got to tell this story. There's like 1,000 people watching, and these two lady police bust in and tell me, you can't have that amp. And everybody's eyes are locked on me. And I know what everybody's thought is at these Christian events, the haters. They're like, I hope he pushes back. I hope he gets arrested. I hope she takes him away,
right,
shuts him down. And the lady cop, the woman cop, text Sister Amon. I said, text my wife the ordinance, and I'll look at it. She said, but you got to shut your amp off. I said, no problem. I'll shut my amp off if it's an ordinance. And I shut my amp off, and I said, I'm going back to preaching. Send it to my wife. I turned away from the police officers, and I said to the crowd, I don't really need my amp. My voice is really loud without it. And you could see the people went, Oh, he's not going to go away.
Yeah, your voice is almost the loudness of the amp. The police, they tested it one time, and your voice was just slightly
did
lower.
Did we ever talk about that? We were on the street, and a very nice officer came over, and he said, I just want to check on you guys. Somebody complained. I said, about what? He said, well, he said, you're using an amp. I said, I'm on a corner of a street. I said, is this a problem? He goes, not really. He goes, but I got a decibel meter. He goes, we do have a decibel law. I said, meter me. So he meters my amp on high, and I think my amp was 90 decibels on high. And he said, that's a little bit over our decibel law. He said, maybe you could lower it. I said, no problem, officer. I said, nobody's around here, but I said, I'll lower it, or nobody was close. And I said, but what about my voice? And I lifted up my voice. He goes, yeah, your voice is pretty loud. I said, would you do me a favor, officer, meter my voice for me? And he stepped back and he metered my voice, and my voice, it was like at 80, 85.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of funny that, and I don't go to blast people's ears out, but the Bible does say lift up your voice. The whole point of preaching is to get people's attention. I'm not going to go out there and whisper like this. The whole point is to get people's attention and proclaim the news of Christ, to warn people. If there was a tornado coming, Sister Amin, should we just whisper to people or would we lift up our voice?
Well, they send the sirens off to go, you know, and warn people, so yeah.
Yeah, and ready? I always use this one on the people that hate the amp for the street preacher. I go, really? You guys all love American history, don't you? And they're like, well, you know, we're patriots. I go, what about Paul Revere? He didn't have an amp, but what did he do? He rode his horse and he didn't just whisper or put post-it notes up. He yelled and said, the British are coming, the British are coming. And they praise him for that.
Yep.
How about if I ride a horse around or ride in the gospel van and say, Jesus is coming, repent. I don't think I'll be as popular as Paul Revere.
No, they're not going to like us because of the...
So anyway, that's submit to governments. How about this one? And this kind of has to do with what the email I had to send, submitting to elders. Elders would be older men, experienced, qualified to lead in the body, not lord over, not run the show, to oversee and make sure that everything is going according to doctrine and God's word and God's will. Hebrews 13:17. Obey them that have the rule over you. Submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, and they must give account that they may do it with joy and not with grief. Well, that would be nice. For that is unprofitable for you. So having people submit to elders or leaders in a body is really troublesome in today's day when people are stiff-necked, rebellious, and it's not different than it was. The Israelites did it. Paul had people doing it to him. It's not uncommon, but it does make it really, really difficult in a time when there's so few saints. And even when you find true saints to agree on doctrine, and then you go, great, we agree on doctrine, but they're so stiff-necked, they won't even submit to certain things, how certain things should be done. So it's quite a challenge.
Yeah, I was just thinking if I can make an observation on
that.
You know, with the modern religious system abusing it so bad, everybody like willingly submits to the pastor, or even if there's a few elders
that lord over.
Yeah, they do it because they could just pay them to do everything.
Yep.
And then on the opposite end of the spectrum, when you get to people who seem like they're true saints, they totally overlook that part,
right?
Because they don't want to deal with that part. There's like no, there should be the middle ground there. And I don't know, as a woman having to submit to the authority to a man, to me, I don't see what the hard part of it is for the younger in the faith to submit to the older one. Because, wow, don't you want to learn?
Yeah, it's like the article I just did, 1 Timothy 5. The older men are like fathers, the older women like mothers, the younger women like sisters in purity, the younger men as brothers, and then children as children. So I just did a teaching on that. And if people would submit that way, and here's what I think is wrong. People get the wrong idea about, they either come out of the world and they come to Christ and they think of freedom in Christ, they come out of the religious systems with the lording over pastors, taking your money, doing all the teaching, controlling you, and they go, I'm free in Christ, and they run into the wrong ditch of freedom, going, now I'm free to do anything I want on my own. And it's like, no, you're not. In the body of Christ, you're not free to do whatever you want. There's an order. There's a rule. There's different positions, different offices, whether it be teacher, pastor, elders. And so people need to learn to submit in that. So that's kind of what I've been working on with this man. And we'll see how it goes. The jury is out, as they say, on that yet.
Right. I'll tell you what, I'd love to have an older godly woman to submit to.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would. I submit to my sisters if I'm in wrong, if I'm wrong or need correction or help or whatever. And yeah, we're to submit to each other.
Yeah, exactly. That's where I'm going. So we submit to the elders that are over. We submit to the government. Wives submit to husbands. We all submit to God. And then the Bible says we submit to each other here. Ephesians 5:21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So what that means is, even if there's elders in the body, they're submitted to people. Men can test their doctrine. Men can go and talk to them. Men can challenge and say, hey, wait a minute, you're teaching this. I see this in scripture. Let's talk about it. Then obviously there can become division from it, but it's not that they rule over and control everything. They're overseers. Elder means overseer.
Yeah. And you just read the verse where it says, they watch over their souls.
Yeah, watch over your souls.
Yeah. I don't think people realize the enormity of looking after others if you're more mature in the faith.
Right.
Even if you don't pick the calling, God does.
Yeah, exactly.
God picks who is going to do it.
Yeah, it's not really something that, it's not really like a career choice where you go, hey, when I grow up, I'm going to be an elder. It's not like that. It's, I think that the Spirit rises certain men up to do it. Some people will never be qualified. Some people will never want to do it. They don't want the responsibility. And so it's like, you know, it's kind of like those men with those skills rise up to that position. And if you have a body, this is important, if you have a body where everybody's in tune to the word, doctrine, the Spirit, it isn't hard. Everybody pretty much will agree and go, that guy or those two guys should be the ones that represent us and oversee us, because they're the most mature, they have the track record, they have the experience, they meet the qualifications. It's not like everyone's fighting in competition to be that, because there isn't that many mature elder men, because there isn't even that many true born-again saints.
Yeah.
So it's something to consider. So we submit all of ourselves one to another. That word submit, hupakeo, I think it is. You know what it means? Surrender, submit, resist no longer. To give away, to yield, there's these Greek words come, or these English words helping us, to yield to authority and to admonition. Kind of gives around. So children have to do that with parents. Wives have to do that with husbands. Husbands have to do it in the body. Everyone has to submit to each other. People have to submit to elders. We have to submit to government. We all submit to each other, if I didn't say that. And we all ultimately submit to God. So submission. Anything else you want to think about that, talk about that, Sister Amin, from a sister's woman's viewpoint, submission?
Yeah, I guess I was just thinking about for women submitting to the husband as unto the Lord, you know, it doesn't matter whether the husband deserves it or not. God says do it.
Right.
You know, and you got to continue to fear God, because you just use that scripture verse in the fear of the Lord, I think, you know, for submitting and stuff.
Yep.
And this is a command a lot of people want to get out of, and they like to use that not lording over type thing just because they're rebellion and, like you said, that free in Christ. So us sisters, you know, the men are the ones who usually have the authority issue when it comes to submitting to the elders. The women are the ones who have the issue submitting to their husbands or...
Yeah, the household is submitted to the other men and the elders, and the women are submitted to the husband.
Right, and if they're not married, they're submitted to the headship order of of the men, and not usurping.
Yeah, and if they didn't have if they didn't have a husband or they didn't have a father, then the elders could be their elders.
That's
would
what I
be
mean, submitting to the general male authority headship.
Yeah,
that's a big problem. I had to talk about that a lot this weekend with women out there, because I had the word feminism on my side.
Oh yeah,
and feminism would be the opposite of
they laugh at feminism. They laugh. They don't want
to
submit. They're rebellious. And rebellion is sin against God. It's, ready? 1 Samuel tells us rebellion is as the sin of
witchcraft.
Yeah. Why is it witchcraft? You don't have to have a kettle with a cat and a pentagram to have witchcraft. Witchcraft is doing spiritual things outside of God's will and design and order. I'm going to be a feminist, and I'm going to dress, or I'm going to act, or I'm going to take authority. You were trying to counsel, you got a great audio, a young woman, she wants to be a pastor.
And
you were trying to counsel her.
Yeah, on our next post.
And that's witchcraft if she pushes through and does it.
Oh, yeah, exactly. She's been warned.
Yeah, so she's been warned against that.
Yeah,
so,
anyway.
Yeah, so think about submission, and wives submit to husbands. Husbands love their wives as Christ loved the body. I always like to say that. And then when all of this is rendered together and everyone's submitting the way they should, it's a beautiful, glorifying thing to God.
Right, and I was thinking about this, since since you are mature in the faith and a man and like you, out on the streets as an evangelist, a leader, a teacher, you have to submit your will to the Lord and make yourself do that at times, because like you're saying, sometimes your flesh.
Amen.
And people don't realize, me as an older godly woman trying to help younger women.
Yeah.
Brother Tupos and I get put in a lot of situations that are really hard to deal with. You know, you have to rebuke people a lot, people you love, instruct them, help them, guide them, show them where their sins are so they can mature in the faith. And that can be a troublesome thing to do sometimes.
We go through a lot of stuff that you never hear about, or you might hear about some things, and then we might talk about it once, and it's happened six times, and we don't talk about it again. Yeah. Like the time we were trying to help a young man to flee his porn addiction and his home where he was getting it and all of that, and he was going with us, and his family called the police and put an APB out and said we kidnapped him, and the police were looking for our vehicle.
Yeah.
And this is the type of stuff that we have to endure and straighten out and go, no, he's got his own car. We didn't kidnap him. Right. They're like, we got him tied in the back of our van.
Right. Or trying to, like, a younger person in the faith, now you got to go to him and say, I got to help you out on this. And maybe the next day you're like, hey, I got to help you on this one too. Do you realize what's going? So sometimes it's like a lot of correction you got to do, because you love them. And if they love the word of God, they'll take it, not in the flesh, but in the spirit. But when you got to constantly do that,
it's labor.
It is.
It's labor in ministry. And if anybody knows me, my wife knows me on earth better than anybody. If anybody knows me, the last thing I want to do in my flesh.
I was just going to say that.
Ready? I'm going to admit this. The last thing I want to do in my flesh is be around more people that have issues and problems. In my flesh, I don't even like being around people. I'm a loner. Put me out somewhere where there is nobody and I can catch a fish, I can shoot a deer, I can grow something, I can make coats of skins and survive, I can make a shelter. I don't even need people. I need God, and that's it. But I know what God wants, and I know that I'm supposed to love God, love my neighbor, love my brothers and sisters. So I have to submit myself, and I believe that's meekness, humbleness. Lord, I don't want to do this, but because I love you, I'm going to submit myself, and I'm going to go right in there and do that. I'm going to go witness to those wicked people, or I'm going into this body of believers that are just nothing but trouble and envy and strife, and I'm looking at Brother Paul as an example, going, Paul, Paul didn't flee and leave these people. Paul brought a hammer when he had to. Yeah. He brought love and tenderness when he had to. Moses didn't give up on the Israelites.
I love that.
And the people were rebellious, stiff-necked. Now, God destroyed him in the desert. Watch out. Just because man doesn't give up on you doesn't mean God's not going to bring great, great chastisement to you.
Right.
But so we submitting, let me just say this as we close on this topic of submission. Ready? If it doesn't hurt you severely in your flesh, I don't think you're even close to submitted enough. How's that sound, Sister Amen?
Yeah, right. Like, especially in the beginning.
Yeah, in the beginning. And just in life, you're pursuing ministry, you're pursuing relationships, you're going deeper in your own faith life. It's not hard on your flesh and submission, you're not pushing yourself.
Right.
You're not crucifying the flesh.
Be very careful. You may have gotten a little bit lax.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. So yeah, keep submitting.
Yeah, good point.
No matter what situation you're in, submitting your spirit man to yourself and killing the flesh man.
Oh, yeah.
Submitting yourself more to God, pouring yourself more out to believers, submitting yourself to more study of the word.
Right.
Submitting yourself to having the mind of Christ. That's if you're like alone, if you're cut off. And then if you have believers that are with you, continual submitting to each other. So yeah, the topic of submitting, I think I have teachings relevant to it, but I probably need to do another whole teaching on that. So good topic.
Yeah.
And something I'm going to be enduring in, maybe if these men, there's several men, if they take this up, it's going to be a exercise of us all killing our flesh, try to submit to each other for the glory of God and get to the place that the Bible says, the word of God says we need to be as men of God and not people that go and do their own partial, hypocritical, false repentance, fleshly, prideful ways, which we all can be guilty of that if we're not careful, but people submitting themselves to God and then to each other, and that glorifies our Father in heaven.
Amen. I like that. I want to glorify him.
We'll see how that all works out.
Mm-hmm.
So pray for that, saints. Pray for that submission that's going to be going on, maybe, myself and then other men, and we'll see what happens in all of that. Sister Amen, what are we going to do tomorrow? Well, you have a scripture verse to share.
Well, hold on. Let me get back to my note here. I was going to say something before that. When we got here and we got all set up and we had a nice spot, and, you know, there's like a lot of things going on and I'm getting a van.
I'm on the phone with a brother.
All set up. You know, you get put, like we talked about, maybe we'll do a video on that or something. And next thing you know, we see this truck roll up.
Wait, I got to tell you, did you say this? We got a beautiful spot with landscaping. We're parked right up against it.
Oh, yeah, it was nice. It was like bushes there. It was like kind of cute. You know, you open
We're
up
tucked away.
We're in the middle of a parking lot, so you get like an 8x10 little island with a bush or something on it. It's like pretty big to us.
And I put my chair back. I'm on the phone with a brother. We're doing a Bible study, and who pulls up?
Oh, the paint striping guys. They did that not too long ago, and we're like, oh, they're probably going to do this parking lot. And you know what? I just did it. I said in my flesh, I went, oh.
Gotta
I was a little disappointed that I had to move. But you know what? Within a couple seconds, it changed to thankfulness. Because you know what? Instead of having to leave the town because there's nowhere else to park, all we had to do was drive across this great big parking lot because there's a whole bunch of other stores here. And all we had to do was move over to park here.
Amen. And what else happened?
A gospel card went out to the guy that you were talking to about striping, you know, what they were going to be doing.
Yeah, he said, you parked here. I said, yeah, you're striping, we'll move. He said, okay, I'd appreciate that. And I said, here's gospel news. You'll be working hard all night. And he looked at it, and he goes, well, thanks a lot. And he put it in his pocket.
Yeah, nice. And so I just wanted to say about being thankful, Psalm 100, verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, and be thankful unto him and bless his name. And I got to say, my mind quickly snapped into, oh, I'm so thankful we could just drive across the parking lot.
That's the difference between staying in the flesh versus getting in the spirit.
Right. And then I wanted to read verse 5, too. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. We're out here for the truth.
Yeah.
To share it.
Right.
And so I was like, I was thankful to be able to just us move across the parking lot and still be able to stay where we are,
Amen.
Share the truth, and just get my right mindset. I was happy to be able to just quickly switch it right to thankfulness.
Yeah, because those things can come up. You know, you get a flat tire, like we got something stuck in our tire the other day, and I looked at it, and the first thing I thought of was, oh, come on, a flat tire. And I'm like, well, okay, I can fix this. We can do this. Maybe somebody needs a witnessing. Went to the shop. Five people got the gospel.
That, So, and I gave some out while I was wandering around.
You were wandering around the store. So, and that makes me think of godliness with contentment is great gain.
Right.
We got to be content in all situations. Yeah. I'm studying through Philippians, and I keep telling people, Paul was in jail, and that book uses, I think, the term rejoice like 11 or 12 times. And he is writing from jail. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. And he's in jail.
Yeah, that's a pretty good, if that doesn't snap us into shape, I don't know what would. Wow.
Amen, amen. So that was good. Yeah, I think we got a video of that striper guy. Maybe we'll put that up tomorrow, probably.
Yeah,
we got a video of him doing the parking lot, so that's pretty cool.
Right.
Tomorrow, we have a little bit of a shorter travel day than today. And we're hoping, if all things go according to our plan, that we will get our second Sin on a Hill, City on a Hill Street Preach up. And we'll get that up with more video, more audio. We got some good audio edification
good
on there.
Audios,
yep. And we're also trying to decide on an event for this weekend. And we got a brother that's going to go out with us on that. So we're trying to pick out which town, what event. And I don't think people realize, Sister Armin, real quick, maybe go into, you know, we don't just show up normally. Now, like that bass fishing tournament I walked into, we just walked into it. I walked up and I preached. That rarely ever happens. What goes into a preach event? What do we normally have to do?
Well, we have to search around the area and find out, you know, what's available.
We got
to
find it.
Yep, first we got to find it, and then we don't want to be driving 8 hours for something. We want to make sure if we're going to spend a considerable amount of driving, we want to make sure we've got parking.
So then we research it, and then what do we look for?
The parking, the public access, and can we even reach the people or be in amongst them?
Yep.
And then we got to see if it will work out.
Yep. We see how many people are there. Then we got to watch the weather.
Oh, and the weather. Yeah, you're looking at me like, I was like, what did I forget?
Yeah, and we got
to
watch the weather, and there's
weather
just all these things
driving
in.
There.
Yeah. Yep.
And sometimes it can take quite a while of looking around on the internet to find what will work.
Yep.
You know, so it does take a little bit of it. And then, you know, it always works out to where there have been times we haven't found anything, and you know what? One person we run into that weekend have an awesome conversation.
Yeah.
We look at each other like, you know what? We could have drove 2 hours, stood out there for 4 or 5 hours, and maybe nobody would have got a message. Maybe they would, maybe it wouldn't, maybe not be a sheep there or something.
Right.
But we were supposed to be right here, and that person got an awesome witness.
Yeah, the Father's timing is always perfect, so we trust in that and just,
yeah, we don't get disappointed. We don't chase all the events all
the time. I think that's
the
joy of not just being an event, like typical street preachers. I know some of them. They're not biblical.
Right.
They're event chasers. They chase a big events like Super Bowls, big sporting events, and they do nothing else. We disciple people online. We teach online, and we are witnessing and street preaching every day wherever we go.
Yeah,
and we're doing events.
We don't just do it for, we do a whole lot that nobody ever sees.
Right,
We try to share a lot because we know it is edifying for other people. And I've been sharing, I got some audios I made on the street this past weekend. And I told him, I said, I would like to make an audio of this because this would be edifying for my sisters and for anybody else listening. So.
Yeah, and some of the best witnessing we get, we never get an audio of. And a lot of times we don't even have time. We don't even talk about it because you just can't do everything.
Yeah.
So it's awesome. So it's really nice. So if people want to go into ministry, I really encourage them to be multifaceted, because based on the weather, your situation, are you sick, you're cramped up in your house or your van, be flexible and be ready to be used of the Lord no matter the situation. Don't be one-dimensional. Be multi-dimensional for the kingdom of God.
Yeah, not a situational Christian.
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
Where it's determined by your situation.
Yeah,
Many different things you can do then.
Yeah. And last thought on this, I was just telling a brother, don't compartmentalize your Christian life. Your whole life is about Christ. He's not the icing on your cake. He's the cake. He's the icing. Everything you do, wherever you go, whatever you're doing, unless you're sleeping and you can't control your dream life, obviously, everything else you're in control of. You should be living for the kingdom of God, looking, pursuing, sharing, learning, studying, fellowshipping, restoring, going to work, resting. That's all we do. And not be thinking, well, here I can let my guard down, do nothing. I'll go do this. No, we're all about the kingdom 24/7.
Right, amen.
Except when we're sleeping, obviously. But even then, you know.
Even then, I love it when I wake up with thoughts and
pictures. Yeah, I dreamed the other night. I was going to talk about this. I won't do it now. I dreamed the other night all about our street preaching event.
Oh, I know. We both woke up and we're
I was like, I woke up tired.
Yeah.
I woke up tired because we woke up tired because we both were dreaming about our street preaching event. And I felt like I didn't sleep.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
But my spirit was good.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Well, my spirit was good.
Yeah, that's funny.
All right, well, tomorrow I hope to work on, I'm getting close on another verse by verse in Philippians 3, and I have a teaching coming up on condemnation. We hear this a lot. People are always claiming we're condemning them to hell in the streets, which we don't do. We warn them about hell. And then they always say, Jesus doesn't condemn anybody. And they have both of those accounts wrong.
Yep.
Maybe that little baby in the manger didn't condemn anybody, but he ain't the baby anymore. He's coming back as the Lion of Judah.
Yeah.
And he's a flaming lion. So we'll talk about that in my next teaching. And Sister Amon, I think you have a Bible verse?
I do. I have Psalm 48:14. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death.
Oh, read that again. Read that again.
I'll read it again.
I like that. I want to ponder that one more time.
For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death.
Oh, I like that. Reminds me of Revelation 12:11, that we love not our lives unto death.
Yeah.
Because
I
of what Christ
that,
has done. Awesome. Good scripture verse, Sister Amon. Well, we're done. We're out of here for another day. I want to encourage all you saint seekers, you need to repent, as I always say, and be born from above, follow Christ. All you saints need to strive. Last verse, Luke 13:24, one of my favorites. I use it all the time. Strive to enter in at the straight gate, Jesus said. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. These people that think Jesus is a get-out-of-hell card, I got it in, I'm making it in easy, oh, I just got water baptized. No, Jesus said strive. That word, ready, in the Greek, agonizome. I could have used that name instead of tupos. Hey, call me agazidnome.
Hey,
agazidnome.
I would just say, hey, egg.
In the Greek, agazidnome. No, I don't want this name, but we need to do it. Ready? You know what it means? To fight.
Yeah.
Jesus tells us to fight to enter into the kingdom of God. And why?
Like that,
not because he can't save us, not because he's weak, because our flesh is weak. And I told this man today, I witnessed to, Jesus is the strength. You and I are the weak link in this covenant. The world's out to get you. Your flesh is out to get you.
Yeah.
Satan's out to get you. The culture, the church systems are out to get you. That's why Jesus said, strive. And if you'll clamp onto him by faith and works and righteousness that he's made a way for us, He will pull us through.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why I encourage you. Strive, saints.
Love that.
And we love you all. Till next time, go out and have a glorious day. Anything else, Sister Emin?
No, I think that was a lot.
God be praised. Bye-bye.